1.
1 Samuel chapter number 1. What a great joy it is to be here.
And I bless the Lord for his goodness.
Yes.
And I appreciate what the pastor just said. I made God a promise a long time ago. And I have guys get mad at me over this. But I made God a promise a long time ago. Any pulpit that he ever put me in charge of, I would never use it to politic or to promote myself. And I've often had guys say, well, your camp meeting, that must open up a lot of doors for you. No, it don't. No, it don't. If you do it right, it won't. Somebody say amen right there. If your motive's right and your heart's right. So I'm honored to be here. It's my first time in Amory, Mississippi. And I've heard a lot of things about this meeting for years. And Brother Sutton had me scheduled to be here, I don't know, probably 18, 19, 20 years ago. And I ended up going to a meeting, and he had planned for me to be here, and I ended up going to a meeting, and it broke out when we went 3 weeks. And when I called him and told him I couldn't come back, he never asked me to come ever again after that. Amen. That sound like him? Amen. So praise the Lord. I had to wait till he resigned to get to come. Amen. Yeah. Well, and he had to die too, I guess. Amen. He must have prayed that on me or something. But I always enjoyed Brother Sutton, and it's great to be here with Brother Rutledge. So I'm gonna tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband right before she married him. I'm not planning on keeping you long this morning. Get that and laugh so I can move on with my life, okay? Amen. So it's good to be here. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I've never preached this thought, but I can't get away from it, so I'm gonna mind the Holy Ghost this morning. And I appreciate the camp meeting. And to all the preachers, if God ever lets you have a meeting like this, No matter what size it is, whether it be big, medium, little, it's God's meeting. And you ever moderate once or twice, then you'll learn that you want to be to everybody what you want them to be to you. So when I go to a meeting, that's how I want to be. I want to be to you like I want you to be to me if you're at our place. And it's a joy to be here, and I appreciate the honor, the privilege, and it's always a joy to see Preacher Joe Bryant. I've known him since the late 90s, and him and his wife ain't changed a bit. I'm serious. I appreciate your faithfulness, Brother Bryant, the example you have set for us young preachers. And I am a young preacher. I mean, amen. And Brother Sammy Allen taught me that right well. And Brother Stennett Blue and Brother Marinette and these men of God. And Brother, I'll always, it don't matter if I'm 70 and they're 150. I'll always be a young preacher to somebody. That don't bother me one bit. I am a preacher boy. Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Thanks again, Pastor. I'm hungry, so I'm going to preach quick. But if you could just get, especially you ladies, I got you on my heart this morning, and I want you to get what I'm going to preach. If you just get the title and the thought, that'll be enough, okay? 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse number 9. The Bible said, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. And after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give unto him the Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice and was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered, said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou wast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Father, so bad in your presence. Thank you for Pastor Rutledge in this good place. Thank you for his wife and his children. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Now, Father, I need thy touch. The church needs your touch. Lord, we need revival. And I pray, Lord, that the Word of God will be more real and more alive to us personally than it ever has been before in our lives in these days. God, I pray that you'd help me to bring the message. Lord, I pray it would change somebody forever. Lord, I pray some eternal business would be done in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Anna was called on God. For whatever reason, the Lord has shut her womb up. Now she goes to God, and God answers her prayer. And I want to preach just on this simple subject this morning. When Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. I don't know if you've ever really sat and studied this prayer, but how powerful a prayer this is. And the results of her calling on God made a very great impact. First of all, this morning I would like to call it a life-creating prayer. I seen this and I said, well, Samuel, your mama's prayers changed your life. No, they didn't. They created your life. And she didn't change his life. It made his life. And I wonder how many people are in this building this morning that you'd look back and you'd have to say, I'm living my life on my mama's prayers. And you see, everything in Samuel's life, every bit of it, could be traced back to this one prayer. Amen. I mean, every time when God came to Samuel and saved him at a young age, God could have very well said, well, Samuel, you know, I heard your mama pray, now I'm here having a visit with you. And when he anointed David to be the king of Israel, God could have said, well, Samuel, I heard your mama pray. I've got something for you to do. And every word that came out of Samuel's mouth, the Bible said not a word of his fell to the ground. And God could have said, Samuel, I did that because your mama has prayed for you. Your life-creating prayers. I wonder as we sat last night and I meditated. We had wonderful fellowship over at the Mexican restaurant, and the boys and the little girls that were there, we just had a great time. And I thought within my heart what it would be one of these days when them youngins turn out to be what they're going to be. If they could look back and say, you know what, my mama prayed for me. My son, he doesn't do much public speaking. I don't know if he's ever testified more than just a handful of times. I don't push my children. I don't fuss at them for not testifying or shouting. I reckon God get a hold of them. I won't have to say a thing. And him and his twin sister graduated last year, high school. And one of the requirements in order to him to get a diploma from the Morgan School of Hard Knocks was he had to testify. He had to give a speech. And in that speech, he stood up with tears running off his face. And he said, I want to thank God for my mama. He said, my mama is the greatest Christian that I've ever known in my life. Well, I didn't get mad or upset because he didn't say me. I sit there and rejoice and said, I'm glad God let me marry her. And so I thought about it, and I went, and I said, he said this, he said, my parents have taught me how to pray. Greatest greatest gift of knowledge, I think, of God. And he's bragging on his mama. And I went to him after that. And I said, why would you stand and say that your mother's the greatest Christian you know? I wanted to know where his thinking was from. And I said, you've known Brother Sammy and Sister Allen. And I said, you've sat at the feet of Brother Raines as your pastor and Miss Norma Jean. And you say that your mother, why? And he said, well, Dad, I didn't never go home with none of them. I went home with my mama. And something's going on in the home, Brother Rutledge. They don't come to me first. They go to their mama and they say, mama, we need to have you pray about this and about that. And then when things don't go their way sometimes, they go to their mother and they say, mama, you've been praying against us that this will not happen. Amen. That's how much confidence my children have got in their mama's prayers. Why? Because time and time again, she's called on God. And God has answered her prayer. And in our church this morning, we've got a woman that ain't even a mama yet, calling on God. And God has answered her prayer. And created life within her womb. It has created life. How many prayers of ours has created life? How many people have we prayed into the family of God? How many sinners have we prayed them under conviction? And we do all these, I don't, but men do a lot of these gimmicks while they got all their. And I'm not 100% against them, but if it's all you got is a graveyard story, it's not biblical. Amen. Being born again of the Word of God, good seed, not corruptible seed. But I'm convinced that conviction is prayed down. I'm convinced that somebody's going to have to call on God. The night I got born again, I had liquor on my breath, beer in the back of my truck. I was on my way to a party. And I walked into church house, and they went to the prayer room, and they said, John's here, pray for him. And they prayed me under conviction that night. And I'll stand here today saved by the grace of God because somebody called my name out to God, and God heard their prayer, and God showed up, and God saved my never-dying soul. May I tell you, good neighbor, the first prayer that God ever answered for me personally went a little bit like this. Dear Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. Would you please save me and come in my heart and forgive me of all my sins? God done it. This is life creating prayers. And but then it stopped the strife. It stopped the contention because Hannah had an adversary. See, Hannah couldn't give birth. She's had a barren womb, but her husband was married to another woman. Now, how many of you women would like to have shared a husband? Amen. I wouldn't want two wives for nothing. God blessed me with a good wife. And I do my best to try to keep her happy and all that, but still, and boys, I got on both of my knees when I asked her to marry me. Somebody said, why'd you do that? I said, well, I knowed I was going to be on both of them the rest of my life. I might as well start that thing out right. But I couldn't handle having two wives, and here this old fella, he got two wives. And that adversary would provoke her daily. I could only imagine the competitive spirit that little woman had toward Hannah. She come, oh, Hannah, did you hear? I'm going to have another baby. And Hannah would be the kind of woman that she wouldn't get mad. She, get hurt, get bitter about it, get upset. But Hannah would be the kind of woman when it come time for her adversary to give birth. She would be there to help with the birth in him. She would be there to help with the baby. That's just the kind of woman she was. And that was, I don't understand. Why in the world you can't have a baby? I'm having babies left and right. You can't do nothing. But when Hannah got a hold of God, God. And God gave her that baby. Amen. And she walked by and she began to show a little bit. And adversary said, well, are you expecting Hannah? Hannah just said yes. She didn't rub it in her face. She didn't post it on Facebook for everybody to see as in your face post or anything like that. She just had the baby and it shut the adversary up. You want to shut your adversary up, get a hold of God. I'm simply trying. I know I'm going a long way to get there. I'm just simply saying it will shut the competitor up. It will shut the contention up. It'll give you peace when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies. Be at peace with him. And when we're walking with God, we can be just like Jesus and find favor in the eyes of God and man. When Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. I wonder how many fights Mama's prayed off. I hear Dr. Don Green from Lansing, Michigan. I don't know if he ever made it down this way. Amen. God, he let me preach for him twice. Two Sundays I got to preach for him. And often I could hear him in my mind right now. I had a wonderful mama and a wonderful daddy. And he'd say, my mama prayed for me. They were great Christians, is what he said. And they prayed for me. God, let that great man of God in Lansing, Michigan be born in a family with a praying mother. They said before he passed away, his prayer list had already reached at least 5 hours of praying every day to get through. And he did it. I met him in 1996 or 97. And when I shook his hand, he looked at me and said, what's your full name? I told him. He said, I'm putting you on my prayer list. When I got married, he put my wife on his prayer list. When I had children, he put my children on his prayer list, and he prayed for us. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I told you I'm not going to preach long, I just want to get this, it stopped the strife. It charted the course for Samuel's life. I've already mentioned it. I mean, every step he took, your mama prayed for him. I mean, there wasn't a decision that Samuel didn't make when he picked David out and went down to Jesse's. He is just running on his mama's prayer life. And that's how important it is. You mothers, I think I see three of you in here with babies today, and them little babies may be aggravating you, and they may be you're carrying them. But one day, if you'll pray for them right, and you'll train them right, and you'll walk right, you won't be carrying them. They'll be carrying you. Amen. Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. It charted the course of his life. I can't talk about nobody else's family but mine. But my wife, she's faithful to pray for her children. And she'll get a burden sometimes. And she'll come to me and say, honey, can we pray? Yeah, I'll be glad to pray. Let's have prayer. Let's bow down. Claim Matthew 18:19 over this. And many a time in the middle of the night, she'd wake me up when they were babies. And she said, John, this baby's got a fever, 103, 104. Sometimes they'd be pushing up 105. She said, we need to pray. Would you pray? And I gather around a crib or a little bed with my sick youngin' in it. My wife and I hold hands and we have prayer. And we get done praying. I say, take the temperature again. She'd take it again. And it'd be going down. I've seen him do it too many times. You're not going to convince me that God doesn't answer prayers. And if God could take the fever out of a child, God could take a virus out of a child, God can do that, then surely God can chart the course that they would get married right. Don't you want your boys and girls marrying right? I'm not raising fornicators and whores and whoremongers in my home. I'm raising Baptists. Hopefully, by the grace of God, they'll all be saved Baptists. Spirit-filled Baptists. And I'm not going to let some young punk boy come by and tear down what I've been spending all these years trying to build up. Don't let no devil come up with earrings in his nose and in his lips, all over his tongue and tattoos, and Said, Brother John, you're just judging. Well, I'm just going to say, yes, I am. And I'm going to judge him all the way out of my house, all the way down my driveway. And while I'm judging the fact that he doesn't need to be with my daughter, I'm going to give him the gospel of Jesus Christ and hopefully get saved by the grace of God. And brother, I'm telling you, we've got too much time invested in these children. I don't know if you pray about it yet, Brother Rutledge, and Brother Johns, and Brother Nicholson. I don't know how y'all pray for your children, but you need to be praying. Them little babies sitting in your lap. God will send them the right mate. God will send them little boys a good God-fearing young lady, one that loves God and eschews evil, one that was raised just like they are, one who you can worship God with, one who you can worship God with the in-laws and the family, and there'll not be no fussing and no fighting and no friction, and everybody, it would just fit and it'd be right. And this is how I pray about it, Brother Jacob, is when Mr. Wright comes along from my daughters or Miss Wright comes along from a boy, that the Holy Ghost would say amen out loud. That everybody would agree with it. Amen. And if it's the wrong one, then God would make it so obvious. Amen. There'd be no denying it, that God would chart the marriage. But then God not only chart who they marry, but the charted course, but then his whole ministry, his work ethics, every bit of it. We'd be praying God to bless our boys and girls with the right mates, bless our boys and girls with our boys rather with the right jobs. Amen. I've always been of the persuasion that you do God's will no matter what. You preach God's message, you go where God leads you, you work where God tells you. That's simple. The Christian life is not to be complicated. Just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Simple as that. I've always been of the persuasion that if God had let you, if God would let you, you don't go work down at McDonald's flipping hamburgers for minimum wage and no benefits and no insurance or nothing like that, but you could be over at the plant making good money and a retirement. Will you pray the will of God? I know it's as simple this morning. Brother Jacob, I'm going to apologize for minding God, but it charted. It got him where he needed to be. Mama prayed. Her prayers changed the country. I'm serious. We move on, and I'm going to be done. Lastly this morning, Samuel heard the call of God. God put him in the ministry. Now, there are some comparisons that we need to make this morning of Samuel's ministry to ours. He started his ministry, and the glory of God left Israel. I mean, all them years, Samuel's having to minister without the glory. How'd he make it? Well, there wasn't but one way he made it, and that's because his mama prayed for him. How'd you do it without the Ark of the Covenant? Well, all I know is my mama prayed for me. How'd you preach without the golden manna and the Ten Commandments and the Ark and all that, the presence of God? Well, that was Israel's luckiest rabbit foot, and they misused it, so they lost it. And now they had to have a man of God that could minister without it. And here he is, a man of God right on time, and he stands up to preach, and people listen and they pay attention. And by the way, while he was preaching, he should have stopped and testified and said, I want to thank God for my mama. His mama prayed for me. Next time we go to whining about the ministry, let's think about Samuel. Next time we go to complaining about how rough and tough it is, why don't we think about Ezekiel? I mean, he did not get to pick his own pulpit. He didn't get to pick his own people. I mean, I would have never said, all right, I'm going to go start a church over here in this valley, and the only members we're going to have is a bunch of dry, dead bones. Well, we won't have to worry about nobody grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. That's the only positive thing you can say about that church. It's going to be just, man, if the Holy Ghost is grieved, it'll be my fault. And he went and preached. And God sent a great revival. This is it. He lived his whole life on his mama's prayer. Now, I spend a lot of time. I told you we're going to preach long this morning. That's really all I got on my heart. To say it like, I spend a lot of time praying over and over and over and over again. And it's scriptural. Paul in the New Testament says, I pray for thee continually, daily. Pray. It's not vain repetitions. I've prayed for you more than once. You've prayed for me more than once. We pray one for another. We pray over the same things continually, instant, constant. That is scriptural. That is biblical. But our text this morning, she said it one time. One time. And as far as I can tell, never went back and prayed it again. One time! Now, I can't do that. Can you? I get a burden on my heart. And it gets weighing heavy on me. I've got to go day after day, multiple times a day, and talk to Jesus and ask him to help me with this burden. Oh, Hannah, you talk about faith in God. We need to study these one-time prayer meetings in the Word of God. Elijah called on God one prayer and the fire fell. One prayer. Isaac prayed one prayer for Rebekah and she conceived twins. Hannah has prayed one prayer and left it. I can't do that. Can you? Bob, if I could, what a great consolation. That would show great faith in God. Great faith in God. A lot of times my praying over and over and over again on my part, forgive me for being, I want to be transparent and honest this morning. Sometimes it's a lack of faith. There's been some things in my life that I have prayed for and I gave up on it. I'm experiencing right now as we speak by the grace of God answers to prayers that I've prayed for several years now that in recent days, forgive me, I just left off and quit praying about it. And now God is answering those prayers and I feel so ashamed. I receive these answers to prayers with a guilty conscience. Because I just gave up. And when God sends those answers in, he doesn't do it for any other reason than just to be a blessing to us and to glorify himself. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I never would have thought it. But my wife's come to me several times and she said, look, it's answered prayer. Why have we doubted he'd ever take care of us? Well, Mama prayed, heaven paid attention. Amen. Let's stay.